Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
My husband did not know what I was going to talk about tonight. And, of course, I'm not always ever too sure either. But when he mentioned 2 Corinthians 5:17, he was spot on. I just feel like tonight the Lord wants us to look at being a new creature, what that feels like, what it looks like, what it feels. What do you believe about stepping into your destiny, your gifting, your calling? A lot of us struggle with that, right? Or am I the only one that has ever struggled with that? A lot of us struggle with that. What's our gift? I have people all the time saying, I don't know what my gifts are. I don't know what spiritual gifts I have or how to get one or if I've been given one or I don't, you know, there's a lot of question as to what that would look like or my destiny. What does my destiny look like? And as Christians, a lot of times we think that our destiny is wrapped up in ministry, right? We tend to think it is wrapped up in some kind of ministry. When in fact, a lot of you might be called to be a doctor or a lawyer or an accountant or a maintenance person or a secretary or a railway person that makes the trains go. Or, you know, there's all kinds of things out there that in politics. As Christians, we need to think beyond what destiny or calling would be. We need to go beyond the idea that it has to be wrapped in church business, because we are the church, and so wherever you go, you're doing church business. You're doing church ministry. You're doing not church. You get what I mean. You're doing the work of the Lord wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Christ in you is empowering you and partnering with you to do that and to be light in the world, right? So we need people in politics. We need people in schools, teachers. Oh, my goodness, we need Christian teachers right now. And politicians, lawyers. We need to take back ground that the enemy has stolen. And we need to stop thinking that it has to be on the mission field or it has to be in the pulpit or it has to be a youth group leader, which those things are wonderful, and God might call some of you to that, but others are going to think you're not as important or as value or your calling is lacking because you're not called to ministry. Right? You're going to question, or you're going to, how do I use my gifting? Of, say, you have a prophetic gifting, how do I use that in the marketplace? How would I use that? Well, the Holy Spirit's going to be quite happy to show you how to do that. But the thing that's going to trip us up is how we think about our calling, our gifting. We're going to try and figure it out, right? Has anybody ever tried to figure out what your future is? Yeah. I so have. Boy, did I miss it. You know, except being a mom and married to my husband. I got that right. But beyond that, I so missed it. And I would have kept missing it had I not been broken and gotten my head out of it. We got to stop figuring it out. And because you figuring it out is going to limit you. It's going to box you in. There are no limits on you. There are no limits. If you think you have a ceiling above you, you're thinking small. It doesn't matter if you're called to marketplace ministry or to the mission field. It doesn't matter. if you're thinking that there's, I can go this high and no higher, if your goals are small, you're missing it. God in you is kingdom. He's going to cause you to walk in kingdom no matter what he calls you to. He wants people in the marketplace, Christians. He wants us to influence government. He wants us to take back ground that's been lost. But what you think about it, about yourself, about your gift, or even if you have one, you're going to think, do I even have one? You start doubting, and you're going to start, your world is going to get very small. You're going to box yourself in. So what does it look like? Verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Do you feel like a new creature? Or do you feel like a failure? Do you feel incompetent? Do you feel not so smart? Do you feel not talented? I have no gifts. Do you feel, do you have negative feelings about yourself? Anybody have a negative thought about yourself? You know, I was filled with them. And those negative thoughts will determine how you walk out your future. They will. If you think that you're not a new creature because of your circumstances or because of a past sin, that is going to determine how you walk out your future. If you think you're stuck, I know a lot of the Teen Challenge here guys are here, and if you, for instance, I'm just going to use you as an example because a lot of people sitting out there have had the same issues. Or similar ones. If you think that you're a drug addict and that you'll always be one, and you hold that against yourself, you're always going to be one. Because you've accepted that as part of your identity. And you've put that label and limitation on yourself. You're not thinking like a new creature because you have an objection to it. Does that make sense? Your past, your history. If you have tried a business, for example, if you tried to succeed in a business, oh my goodness, my husband and I did that. We tried more than once. We've been married 47 years next month, and we've more than once tried to start a new business and failed royally. But the feeling was, could have been that we were failures and we shouldn't try and do that again, right? We shouldn't go there because that's painful, it's costly. It's people look at you like, oh, there goes those Harwells again, you know, starting something new, and your expectations on yourself become low, and you start walking, you start living what you think about yourself. So you live out the destiny that you believe, is so to speak. And you put labels on yourself, and you're always going to think in lack. And you're always going to be attracted to the negative. You're always going to be attracted to lack. You're always going to be attracted to the what-if, could-ifs, and should-ifs, and would-ifs, rather than the what-if. I can do all things through Christ. I think I can, you know, being the little engine that could and got confidence, even though he was small in the hill. Does anybody know that story? It's about this little, that's an old one because that was when I was a kid. But this little train had a big hill to cross. And he was little and wasn't real powerful like the big engines. And he kept saying, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, all the way up that hill. And he did it. And the big engines were laughing at him. I can't believe I'm telling the kids. But I wish I had the book. I would read it to you. Because he had such confidence in himself, even though he's a little tiny engine. And compared to the big new steam engines that were mocking him and laughing at him, he didn't let them determine his truth. He thought with a kingdom perspective, and he looked towards his future, and he set a goal, and he made his goal because he thought he could, right? In reality, he shouldn't have been able to do that. And everybody knew it. All the other engines knew it. So the same is true for us. You're going to limit your future by what you believe about your past. If you're still holding on to your past and you're letting what other people have said about you and what you've said about you and the experience, the negative experiences that you've had, the failures that mistakes that you've made, those don't determine your truth as a new creature in Christ, right? We have to think with a different perspective. We have to think with a kingdom perspective. But the objections to that is what's going to hold you back. So if I want to think that I can do all things through Christ, so if I have a goal of being a lawyer, which Saul wouldn't be me, if I have that goal, but somebody here might. If I have that goal of being a lawyer someday, but I've had drug addiction and I've had made a couple of bad mistakes and some financial debt and all that kind of thing, if I hold on to that, I'm never going to move towards being a lawyer, right? I'm gonna pull down my expectations of what I can accomplish, and I'm going to pull them down to where I think that I can do it, determined by what my past looks like, how I've defined myself according to my past. But if I define myself as forgiven, redeemed, and restored, and that I can do all things through Christ, and I let go of the objections to that, the objections are going to be, well, I can't be a lawyer because I have this criminal history. Or I can't be a lawyer because I have made these terrible mistakes, and what would the public think? Or nobody would hire, or, you know, you start having all these objections. Those objections are really there by choice. What you think is, you've heard me say this a gazillion times, whatever number that is, what you think is everything. Your subconscious thought life, the things that you think about yourself and your future, and your gifting, is everything. You will walk in a limited future. It will be within, you'll just step out just far enough to know in a place that I know I can do that. And you'll do that. And you might stay there the rest of your life, where you could have gone so much farther. So much farther. But the objection, the I can't, because you're letting that define you. You're letting that keep you in a safe place, basically. Because if I limit, if I hold myself back, then there's no risk, right? Risk can be costly. Chris and I, it wasn't fun those times that we stepped out and we risked and we lost everything. One time we lost everything except the clothes on our back and our furniture, but we lost our home, one of our vehicle. We lost everything. That's why we're in Indiana, because we lost everything. We were in Arizona, and my husband's from the Southwest, and I moved there when I was 7. So I grew up out there in Arizona, and we met out there, and I thought I would spend the rest of my life out there because I loved it. My parents moved back here after we got married, and in 83, we lost our fish farm and lost everything. And it was hard, hard place because we had to move back to a place where we didn't want to. I didn't want to come back here because it's cold. And I don't like being cold. I still don't like being cold. But we had to. It was forced. God blessed us because where we lived, we couldn't get work because of the mines were on strike at the same time we lost our farm. And you can't cross the picket lines. Then at that time, they could get violent. And or Westerners, you know. And so we were forced to, because we tried going to Arizona, to Phoenix. We tried going to Oregon, tried going to New Mexico, where he was from. We tried Colorado, and we couldn't get jobs anywhere. My brothers call me and say, we talked to our boss, and we can get Chris work. It's guaranteed. They want him to come back. And so my dad gave me a plane ticket, and we packed up and drove back here and have been here ever since, obviously. So that was painful. And so we had years of bad credit and just years of trying to pull out of that. But in that, it gave us the I could, because we didn't let that define us. And it actually brought us out stronger and believing for more. It caused us to know that I can survive anything, any trial. God is good in that trial. And I can. It caused us to be the I can. I didn't even know inner healing then. I was so wounded in other areas. But that one, we had a confidence in the Lord to bring us out of that. So your trials do not define you. You are a new creature in Christ. But we don't always feel like a new creature. Right? We don't feel like it. Your feelings don't determine your truth. The feeling comes from a belief that you have that is negative, that is gonna guard you in some way from risking going forward. Even though it's a bad feeling, if I hold on to I'm a failure. If you hold on to that belief, you're going to have the expectation of failing again, right? If you believe that you're a failure, you're going to live with that expectation, and at some point you'll fail because that's what you're expecting of yourself. You're not expecting more. You're not expecting to succeed. If I believe that life, it's hopeless. If I believe things are hopeless, that I've tried and tried and tried, and or I just can't see my way out. Some of us have had long-term struggles. I've had long-term struggles with health issues, and that can begin to feel hopeless. If I hold hopelessness in place, then what does that do? It does something for me, right? If I hold hopelessness in place, it's going to protect me from being disappointed. If I stay hopeless, that's easier on my fleshiness. It's easier than sticking myself out there for hope and then being disappointed. So I'm never going to have the hope of anything better. I'm going to be content with illness. That's awful. That's a sad place. But we do it. All of us do it at some level. So what, even your spiritual giftings. If you limit yourself, first of all, you have to know that you have one. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you so have a spiritual gift. Even if you haven't, You still had a gift from Holy Spirit. You need to know that that is in you. And as you press into the Lord, some of you know what that is. Most of you probably know what your spiritual gifts are. The Bible says, for instance, if you have prophecy, I think I started there and then I lost that somewhere. If you have prophecy, the gift of prophecy, the Bible says that you will prophesy according to your level of faith in the giver of your gift, so that he's going to fill your mouth, right? Because the prophetic is something that just comes out. And you just start speaking, and it comes out, and you can't control. You don't think it up ahead of time, and you don't have it all figured out and what you're going to say and how it's going to look. Right? It's a step of faith. So if you think, if you have a prophetic gift, you could have fear attached to it, fear of making a mistake, saying the wrong thing. I might prophesy out of the flesh. You could speak a wrong word. You start getting all this stuff and getting yourself all worked up. Well, then you're just going to shut down that gift out of fear. And then you're not acting, not walking as a new creature. Oh, your flesh will so, you'll so know if you start prophesying out of the flesh. Problem is admitting it. Right? Because our flesh doesn't want to admit. We want to impress rather than bless. And so we gotta be careful with any of the gifts. They're all for the well-being of another, not to self-elevate. But your giftings, you're gonna limit them or you're gonna grow them according to what you believe about them and the one that has given it to you. Verse 18. Now all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses. So why are we? If you've asked forgiveness for past sins, why are you holding that against yourself? You know why? Because we think if we stay judged, if we keep judging ourselves, then we won't do it again. That's a lie. It will keep you from walking in power. You're always going to hold back because you're always going to feel, I'm not worthy of that gift, or I'm not worthy to do this or that, or I can't. It's going to put that in you. You're always going to walk around guilty when you've been forgiven. Been forgiven, set free. Walk as a free man or a free woman. Know that you're free in Christ Jesus. If you've asked forgiveness, you're forgiven. You don't earn that. It's a gift. But how you think about it is everything. So God's forgiven you. If you've come before me, you've asked, he's cleansed you. Jesus already cleansed you. So why are we acting like we're not cleansed? That doesn't bring God glory. And it will keep you from walking in the likeness of Christ. The word says that you are being transformed into the very likeness of Christ Jesus. It is a process, but how you think is everything. That's always the most dreaded thing in a time like this, is the phone going off. But how we think, how do you think? How are you thinking? Are you thinking like the little engine? I think I can. And he keeps going up and up and up. He's climbing up. Or are you thinking like the little engine that looks at the hill and gets like, I can't even go there. And just gives up before he gets started. You know, God will that play, that God will, that song that says God will make a way when there is no way is true. But you can stop it. Or you can say, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to walk in your way. You know, it all, it all boils down to your value. Do you believe that God loves you? Do you believe it with everything that is in you? Because when you do, you will come into agreement with his love, that he counts you as valuable and worthy and treasure, your treasure. When you know that, you're going to act like treasure. You're going to act like you're loved. You're going to know it. And so the knowing, that deep knowing, causes you to receive it and act like it. You're going to act out what you believe. I earlier saw somebody with an arm, with their hand stretched out, and your hand was trembling with fear. So it's like you're reaching for something. There's something that you want, you feel like God's calling you to, or you'd like to, you know, you feel that stirring in you to stretch out farther than what you think you can. You think you can. And so, but there's this fear, there's this trembling. Can anybody relate to that? Yeah. Okay, fear. Fear is that will stop you cold. But there's a huge benefit to holding on to fear. And I mean benefit. Fear is the expectation of something bad. Right? That's the definition. If I hold on to fear, then I am expecting that bad thing to happen, and I'm ready for it because I have the expectation. I already know it's going to happen, so I'm ready for it. So, but if I let fear go and I don't hold on to it, then I might be taken by surprise. Fear will keep you from walking into your destiny. It'll keep you from moving forward. It will keep you from believing that you can. It will keep you from believing that you can stay free of drugs or alcohol, whatever addiction is, whatever secret sin you have, whatever thing that is binding you. Fear will keep you from walking in the freedom of it. If you're holding on to fear, you'll eventually cave. You'll get into it. It holds you in that place. If you stop and think about it, we're using a negative to keep us from a negative, right? I'm using fear to protect me from fear, you know, because I'm going to use it to keep me expecting something bad. But our flesh will do it because it feels like we're doing something to protect. It's all about self-protection. Let's get rid of fear, right? Fear. Just lay it on the altar in front of Jesus, and just repeat after me. Make sure you have no resistance. You don't need fear. It's a demonic ploy to keep you bound. Lay fear on the altar and say, Jesus, I recognize that I have come into agreement with fear. And I've used fear in order to keep me from being surprised when a bad thing happens. I choose now to break my agreement with fear. And I command all demonic assignments connected to fear and its ungodly benefits, you go now in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you cleanse that place for them. Now you just receive from the Lord, because he's going to give you something now of greater value than fear. Just receive. Just have no expectations on how he's going to do it. Lord, I ask you clean this place out for them. Just clean it out. And what would you like to give them in exchange for that fear? What do you want them to have? How many of you feel like you received freedom there? Raise your hand. That's awesome. All right, now let's test it. This is the way you test it. That little prayer right there, you find the negative thing that you're holding on to, the objection you have to moving forward in destiny, or whatever it is negative you believe about yourself. And then you find the benefit, because it has a benefit, or you wouldn't hold on to it. And you just break agreement with it. You command the demonic assignments to go, because they're attached and they want to keep it there. So they keep poking you there. So this is the way you test it. Step back into a memory that you know you held fear. And see if fear is there. So just do that real quick. How many of you feel like that memory is peaceful as far as fear goes? Might have something else uncomfortable. That's awesome. That's awesome. Isn't that amazing? Everything that hinders you from being, feeling, and knowing that you are a new creature, everything that keeps you from walking in the freedom of Christ, in the joy of the Lord, in the confidence to move forward, in knowing your giftings. Because the enemy doesn't want you to know what you're gifted at. But you're all gifted. He can't stop that. It's already been given to you. But he wants to destroy your confidence in using your gifts. He wants to destroy your confidence in walking forward in your destiny. Because when you do, then he's losing ground. And so we so don't care about that. What we care about is gaining ground for the kingdom. We as Christians need to stand up and take back the ground that we've been losing. We need to get into the marketplaces. We need to get into whatever it is. Whatever God is calling you to, whatever destiny, if you don't have a goal, if you don't have a stirring in you that, hey, I'd like it to be a graphic artist, or whatever it is, if you don't have that stirring in you, all you have to do is press into relationship with God, and he will birth your destiny. Guaranteed. When you focus on the one that holds your destiny, and you do relationship with him, the one that loves you most. He's the one that gives you value, and he's the one that causes you to succeed in all that he's called you to. Doesn't mean you're not going to have any struggles or any trials, because you will, but the trial is guaranteed to grow you, not destroy you, when you're in relationship with the Lord. We don't have to fear our trials. I just want to pray. I want to take some time and pray for you. And We always want to pray for our bodies, of course. So even the gift of healing or praying for a body, you have to get your head out of it when you're praying for somebody for healing. Because you can't heal them. You know, you can't make that happen. Did you know that? You can't make that happen. That's it. When you walk in healing ministry, you can't, like, I can't will it enough. Or it would happen every single time I prayed for somebody. I can't make it happen. But the one who does make it happen, the more I focus on him and I get my head out of it, it's not about me. Everything you do in life is not, it's not about you. It's not about how smart you are or how dumb you think you are or how anything. It's about how much do you think you can, because he can. He will cause you. I just heard a testimony. Does everybody know who Todd White is? Rochelle and I just went to a conference that he spoke at, and he couldn't even read and write when he got saved. He couldn't read and write. And now he's writing. I mean, he's doing amazing things for the Lord, and he can so read and write. It was because he became a new creature. God empowered him beyond that which he is able, because he got his head out of it. He didn't stay in his limitations. He didn't let his past define him. Every one of us has the opportunity to, from this day forward, to move in a way that we are confident in our future and not defined by our past. You know, I just feel like God wants to do an exchange with that. Breaking off agreement with your past, the negative things that have happened in your past. We learn from them, right? But we don't need to hold on to the negative feelings about our past sins and our past failures and our past history, who we've allowed others to try and say we are, to define us, to or who we've put on ourselves. That all that negativity, that has to stop. You can't be a new creature and stay in that mud, right? Anybody want to let that go? Break agreement with your past. That's not who you are. We hold on to that because it keeps us remembering our failures. If we remember our fail, if we break agreement with that negativity, that judgment, that self-condemnation, if I break agreement with it, then I might do it again, right? I guarantee you, if you hold on to condemnation, you'll do it again. Because you're not walking like a new creature. Christ has set you free, so you have to act. You have to walk and know that you're free. So that self-judgment, not and that condemnation, has to go. So lay that up on the altar. Lay your past up on the altar. And I want you to give it a name. I'm a failure, I'm a drug addict, I'm addicted to porn, I'm this or whatever. I'm just a bad person. Whatever you think about yourself, your past. Give it a name. The agreement, the benefit would be, if I do that, if I remember that, or if I hold on to that, then I won't do it again. It's going to make me better. I'm going to try harder to be better. Does that make sense? So lay your past up on the altar. Say, Jesus, I recognize that I've been holding on to condemnation against myself for my past. And I've used this to remind me and keep me from doing it again, to make me better. Ask forgiveness for doing this. I choose now to break my agreement with my past and the benefits that I've attached to it. And I command all demonic assignments connected to that condemnation and its benefits. You go in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you cleanse this place for them. Jesus, I ask you just to renew our minds right now, that you would come and just clean that out. And what do you want them to know? What do you want them to have right here in place of that condemnation? Just receive. Anybody feel, if you look at your past now, does it feel different to you than it did a little bit ago? Just raise your hand if you feel like you got, oh, look at that. Wow. You know what? I've never done that one before. Like that. That's amazing. Thank you, Lord. If you go after your everything that keeps you from walking as a new creature, from walking in the likeness of Christ, every single thing that holds you back from that, if you tackle that with that little quick prayer, I guarantee you that your future is you're going to walk in it. You're going to be more than what you ever thought. Because the future God has for you is beyond you. It's kingdom. And he loves taking broken people and raising them up. Because in the breaking, you become humble. And humility is powerful in the kingdom. So broken people are the best. Because you're wiser now. There's no shame in being broken. So, everybody that has something in your body that you want prayed for, I want you to stand up. It can be anything. I don't care. Any illness, anything you're struggling with, I want you to stand up. No, don't be shy. Come on. This is healing ministry. So we're healing the minds and we're going to heal the bodies right now. Yeah, look how. Yeah, come on. Unless you're perfectly healthy, you shouldn't be sitting. I'm just saying, this is an opportunity. Because Holy Spirit is here, and he knows how to heal bodies. And Lord, I'm just asking right now for angels that carry your healing presence right now to come. God, we just release your angels to come. Jesus, it's you that heals. You've paid for it already. I just thank you, God. Thank you, God, for healing. Thank you, God, for healing. So I just lift you up before the Lord, and I stand in the authority. All of us, we stand in the authority of Christ Jesus to speak life into your body right now in Jesus' name. Put your hands on each other. Just put your hands on each other. Take authority over illness. We break its power right now in Jesus' name. We command every sign of infection, of virus, of disease to go in Jesus' name. We break its power off of you now in Jesus' name. I command your immune system to rise up and be strong and healthy. We break the power of addiction right now in Jesus' name. I break the memory of drugs and alcohol off of your bodies right now in Jesus' name. I break the memory of it. No more. No more addiction. That does not define you, bodies. Speaking to your body, I bless your body to be a new creature right now in Jesus' name. I declare freedom over you in the name of Jesus. I speak to depression right now. I bless your mind to be free of depression. That's an oppression. I break oppression off of you now in Jesus' name. Release it. It has to go in Jesus' name. Lord, I speak to pain right now. We take authority. We have authority. You've given us authority, God. In the name of Jesus, to break off a pain. And whatever is causing that pain has to stop in Jesus' name. We break the power of pain off here, and the memory of pain, the habit of it, has to go in Jesus' name. Speak peace. Speak peace. God, just release your peace right now over every body right here, that they would feel just a showering and a wave of your peace. You are glorious, Jesus. We praise you. I feel like somebody has a blood disease. Blood disease? Anybody? Okay. All right. So I'm suspecting hepatitis. Is that right? So I just take authority right now. God, we know that that was because of something that they chose to do that shouldn't have been done. However, you are a redemptive Savior. You restore and you redeem every single mistake we've ever made. So I break that mistake off of your body right now in Jesus' name. I forget, just forgive your body, forgive yourself for making that mistake. Just I release healing into your body right now in Jesus' name. And forgive yourself. And I bless your bodies to receive that forgiveness and the healing. God, I just bless their bodies to be strong and to release it. No more hepatitis. God, we break it off in Jesus' name and release healing. The blood of Jesus. So, Lord, I just ask for a blood transfusion right now. Everyone, anyone else here that has a blood disease, God, I ask for a blood transfusion, Jesus, a blood transfusion. You are the great physician, Lord. A blood transfusion right now. Thank you, Lord. God, you're so amazing. Love you so much. Love you so much. You're so amazing. Lord, I ask, I feel like some people are sad. Sad. Anybody have sadness? Just release it. Just that's something you just give him. Just give it to him. Just release that sadness. Lord, I ask you fill them with joy and hope. Does anybody here feel like you got some healing? Raise your hand. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Father, you're amazing. God, we thank you. I lift up every person here tonight. God, I ask you just love on them. Your love is so sweet. I ask you just love on them. Love them to health, Lord. That they would be able to receive your love and to know it, and that it would cause them to walk as a new creature. To know that they are they are cleansed by the blood and power of Jesus Christ. It's not on you to be perfect. He already is. You don't have to be. He loves you just like you are. And you can't have done anything bad enough that he wouldn't love you. So I bless you with the knowledge of the most holy God that loves you most. Lord, I ask that you give every little engine here a big I could. I think I can. And I can. So I bless you and I thank you, Jesus, for healing. Thank you. We just honor you. We praise you. We love you. You're amazing. You're amazing. Thank you, Jesus. So I bless you. Thank you. So you're dismissed. And thanks for coming out.